Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of our supporters. It's Santiago Uribe and Kevin Sill. Thank you so much for supporting the show through Patreon. And if you, as a listener, would like to help support our show, help us pay for the editing, the transcription, everything that goes into making this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/cooltool. So thank you so much, Santiago and Kevin.
Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about.
Our guest this week is Itamar Kabovi. Itamar is a creator and curator of live experiences. He studied philosophy, ran theaters in Germany and Sweden, wrote and directed plays and films, and for 16 years was executive creative producer of the globally acclaimed dance company Palobolus. For the Freeman Company, Itamar co-founded and co-leads Inside Live, a platform where innovators and hybrid events share knowledge and collaborate. Hey, Itamar, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on today.
It's a real pleasure, and we're really looking forward to your suggestions about favorite tools.
I'm excited to think about it with you guys and tell you what I came up with.
That's great. Yeah. So the first one is something that I think I may have first encountered in like the 80s or 90s when I was in Europe with my wife and I watched it on TV. Describe it to me and tell me if I'm thinking of the same thing.
It's exactly what you're thinking of, because I first encountered it also sort of late jet lagged nights in European hotels. There's a cable news network in Europe called Euronews. And late at night, when they would otherwise stop programming, they started doing this thing where they just show B-roll of various things during the day and the last couple of days that happen. And it's entirely unedited B-roll. It's called No Comment. And essentially, it's just an endless sequence of this 1 or 2 minute snippets of B-roll from all over the world that news journalists shot, but didn't end up using. And they just sort of throw them up on a site. And, you know, it's funny, since quarantine, and since the entire kind of change in the world has taken place over the last few months, it feels like everything we read and everything we see is so intentional in some way. Everything seems planned to get us to think something. We don't know if it's a bot or something real. And there's something about unintentional footage of the world right now that almost seems accidental, that feels sort of soothing to me.
Right. And is it sort of like a stream that goes and is forever gone? Or can you watch like yesterday's or No Comment, or can you watch it from a month ago if you wanted to?
You can do both. I think it's mostly set up for sort of a scrolling, you know, kind of catalog that lasts 2 or 3 days and then they flush it out. So everything feels remotely somehow adjacent to the news, but it's an angle that you've never seen, and it has no story to tell other than just letting you be there for a minute and a half. And it could be
no soundtrack. It's just the ambient noise that they're
exactly
picking up.
Exactly.
I love it so much. I'm so glad that this, I had no idea that it was still happening. I mean, it's been like I said, at least 25 years since I've seen it, and I'm so excited that there's a website for it and I can go back to watching it, because it was mesmerizing.
I know, it's really, and they've got a YouTube channel as well where they cycle the stuff in and out, so it's just been a very nice kind of playlist to be able to just kind of, you know, sort of zone out and just sort of look at stuff that no one organized for you, but was just a chance for you to look at a window. Yeah.
There's also a way that's kind of virtual travel too. Because of this kind of ambient nature, it's a way of being somewhere different, mm-hmm, without an agenda.
That's so true. It's that agendaless, that kind of truancy. You know, everything we do all day, we're scanning, we're looking, we're searching, we're thinking. And this is just sort of, no one's got an agenda, and it's just rolling by right. your window.
There was another website recently where people were driving around in cars. You could pick your city, and it was just random dash cams of people driving. And without, again, you don't have a destination as a viewer. You're just kind of meandering around through whatever is the city that you've chosen. And that has a similar kind of aim.
Beautiful. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like that's been sort of where I've been gravitating rather than to kind of program things. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by just having this opportunity to kind of, you know, it's presence, I guess, in some sense, right?
Right.
Like
it's, right.
you're there. And nothing's happening, but somehow that's soothing. Yeah.
And it's just like, I'll just give a few example headlines so you get an idea. Lebanese diaspora hold vigil to honor victims of Beirut blast. Buddhist festival held without spectators in Sri Lanka. Southern California apple fire rages on. Italy inaugurates new bridge after deadly collapse. And it's just an endless scroll of these little video snapshots of the world. And as I recall, each one's like maybe 30 seconds long. Is that right?
Exactly. They just sort of drift in and drift out. There's no rhyme nor reason. It doesn't seem like they wait for anything to end or start. It just kind of dips you down and then lets you, you know, be there for a while, and then it moves you somewhere else.
Well, that's wonderful. So what's another favorite tools of yours?
So I have kind of a couple. I decided that I would sort of think about a couple more examples of this kind of random media, because I thought that it was sort of a genre. And you should add that dash cam site too. I mean, I feel like it's a certain way of looking at the world right now. So the other two suggestions I had in that department were a site that I'm sure you guys have talked about and seen before, astronaut.io, which is effectively...
I'm not familiar with it. Can you explain what it is?
It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. It's an algorithm-driven site that basically combs YouTube for videos that have either been seen zero times or one time.
Yeah, I love this one.
I don't know. How is it possible that something has been seen no times? Even the curator didn't look at it?
Yeah.
Never looked at it. Like, uploaded it, and it never got looked at, ever. It's phenomenal, right? I mean, it's just genius. And it's so weird and so good. It's just, and you realize that there's this extra special feeling of like, you've uncovered the tomb of King Tut that hasn't been seen in 4,000 years, except it just randomly got loaded from someone's pocket 4 days ago, you know?
That's such a great way to put it. I found one on Astronaut like a month ago of a Vietnamese restaurant, and it is in the back. It's the people's house where they live, and they're just like videoing their life inside the house, and then also they do video of the front of the restaurant, and I'm like the only one watching them, and it's like
totally.
Oh my god, it's like it feels like a huge privilege to be able to like learn about this family, and I'm like the only person watching.
Exactly.
It's bizarre.
Exactly. And it's just such a strange feeling that is really enabled by the technology, but also brings you to some very human place.
So this is called astronaut.io.
And that's, in fact, its URL. Yeah.
And then what's Obscure Media?
Obscure Media is a subreddit that is a little bit different from the others.
Okay.
And it's essentially just a subreddit where people collect strange pieces of actually created media from any time in the past. So just odd, strange commercials of actors you know that were made in Bulgaria, you know, or strange, just the kind of strange sort of throwaway detritus of media. This time it's all stuff that was very much made at some point. It's very intentional, but it's so irrelevant at this point, a lot of it, that it kind of loses its intention and just feels like, wow. Someone in Italy in the 60s actually dressed up as a pineapple and really tried to sell you a car this way. you know, and it's just somehow, it somehow reveals a lot of the kind of strange foibles of the human imagination.
I also find that the group to be like a really welcoming, friendly group of people, as opposed to a lot of subreddits where people are kind of snarky and insular.
Totally. It's very open and very content focused. And very often people don't have a lot of discussion about stuff, but it just is the sort of place to look at a lot of oddness that's sort of diverting.
Yeah. It's a very generous group of people.
Yeah. That's great to know. I've spent time there, but haven't interacted so much. So that's good to know, Mark.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you're on a great roll here. Just on a related one, Claudia Dawson, our other Cool Tools team member, did something on a recent Recommendo newsletter about a service. I can't remember, but I'll put it in the show notes, where people have shot video outside their window.
Yes.
From around the world.
And then you can, I believe it's called Window Swap.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So these are kind of like almost ambient. They're kind of like in the background. They're not in your face. They're sort of I don't know what the word is that has them in common. It's not that they're found. They're also found, but they're also calm or quiet or something.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit the equivalent, thinking about it, of like, it's a little bit the equivalent of like Brian Eno. Do you remember when he would do that music for airports and music for elevators? And
you call it ambient.
Ambient, exactly. Right. So I think it has a little bit of that quality, very much so, actually. Yeah. And then the other two things I was hoping to be able to talk about, one was a set of headphones, the ones that I'm wearing right now, in fact, which I think are not obscure in any way, but they're these over-the-ear clunky Jabra 85Hs, which are Bluetooth noise canceling sort of giant things. And they're great. They're just really good. They allow you to do all the things that people pretend they can do with earbuds. And they're way less comfortable and they're hot and whatever, but they really work. And I found that they've helped me so much be able to stay focused during this time when there's so much stuff going on around and there's so much competition for concentration, both visual and our environments where we have our families or whoever is around us all the time. It's just really helped me focus in a way that I feel very appreciative to the product.
And this Jabra one compared to other enclosed headphones or whatever you call these things these days, headsets, earphones. I mean, there's Bose, there's lots of them that also cover your ear. Why is this one particularly better?
You know, I think for me, what it does is it just creates a different space in your head. It successfully does that even when you're outdoors, even when there's a lot of stuff going on around you. It allows you to sort of be with the person you're talking to in a different way. And I'm sure the others are great too. You know, I'm sure they are as well. And the ones that I've tried have been, but this one sort of really, I don't know, somehow it's not just over your ears. It literally sort of puts you in a bubble.
Are they comfortable around your head? Like
very,
to your ears
very. I can wear them for 5-6 hours.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And they're not very expensive, and they every once in a while you bump into something that actually does what people tell you it does. And this is one of those times, and it's always pretty surprising when something works that well.
That's cool.
Okay.
And how about the battery life?
It'd say up to 36 hours. Is that possible?
Sounds like a bit of a stretch, but you certainly get a full long day's work out of them and never have to worry.
Is it a micro USB rechargeable, or do you put batteries in them like AA?
The USB-C, you just plug it into a USB-C plug and they charge in about 45 minutes and then give you a full day. And more than anything, I think their microphones are fairly good. There are many of them, and they just allow you actually to conduct a phone call outside.
Outside via Wi-Fi or outside via Bluetooth?
Via Bluetooth to your phone, for example, you can be in a fairly noisy environment and just really feel like you can have a real conversation.
So it's tethered to your phone?
Yes. It's tethered to the phone or to your laptop or to whatever you want to Bluetooth to. It also comes with a cord, which I think raises its audio specs when it's connected directly, because I guess the Bluetooth can't quite handle everything that the signal can offer or the speakers can provide. But it's good. It's just a good thing. And it's brought me, particularly in this time, you know, whereas I remember in the good old days, we used to all fly and you'd watch everyone unzip their 9-pound Bose things and put them over their heads for the flight. And it always seemed like a lot of schlep for the value, you know, some people swore by it, but I've understood how that technology really can make a life-changing difference during this last few months when I've really needed to manage conversations I would otherwise do in person on the phone distantly and also be in an environment where I was often unable to be in a quiet room.
Okay, so those are the Jabra 85. They have some, so they're about $250. They have a 45, the Elite 45 that's $100, but I don't think it's noise canceling. So
yeah, I would go for this one. And they often discount them to $199. And I think they're
good to know.
You know, they're not cheap, but they're not $400, you know, the way that some of those guys are.
Or you can just set up a camel alert for Amazon.
Exactly. Exactly right. They do go down though, and they have all sorts of offers. The last
let me interrupt for just a second because
please.
I just wanted to say that a lot of times you can go to Amazon Warehouse, which has like just open box stuff that's not been used, but people like bought it and returned it. And here I see it, the same one, Jabra 85s on Amazon Warehouse for $128.
Look at that.
The box is opened.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just a rock solid product, so I would not have any qualms about ordering one of those.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, go ahead with your next tool.
My next and last was just something that I discovered again 20 years ago and realized that as the 20 years have passed, if not 30, I still have not found anything better. And it is a tea bag. A tea bag that is essentially like English breakfast tea.
That has tea in it? Just to be clear.
It's a tea bag with tea in it. It's just tea bags. What I'm recommending is Marks & Spencer tea. And Marks & Spencer, of course, was for many years. I heard recently they may be in bankruptcy, as so many of these department stores was. But it was like the Macy's of the United Kingdom. It was sort of the big department store was always a Marks & Spencer if you went to London or to many English towns. And they had a little grocery section in the basement where they essentially sold the equivalent of PG tips. Nothing fancy, you know, 100 bags per box, nothing, no beautiful tin, no beautiful wood covering. And they have a particular thing that they're now selling on Amazon quite reasonably for 160 tea bag boxes called Luxury Gold Tea, UK Marks & Spencer Luxury Gold Tea. And I have to tell you, for the umami of tea, which has also been quite a treat sometimes during this period where you kind of put a little milk in it at night or in the morning and really feel the comfort of like a sort of creamy cup of tea, this can't be beat. They're just awesome. And I thought that now that they're available, for a long time, I was literally getting people who went to London to go to the basement of Marks & Spencer and get me two boxes of this tea. And now Amazon, I think, with the sort of globalization over the years, Amazon now allows you to just buy it with a click.
So I'm not a tea connoisseur, but is there has the taste been consistent? Is this like a single source? Is this a particular kind of tea? What do you know about this compared to other Mark and Spencer's teas for that matter?
You know, it's a particular blend and they blend different origins of tea together in the way that one might blend coffee beans from different places together to get a particular taste. And it's quite strong, so it really gives you a flavorful tea. And dark, but never has any bitterness to it. And just is very smooth and in a little bag, you know, it's there's nothing fancy about it. And it's just an enormous, enormous improvement over Lipton, you know, or something like that.
But Marks and Spencer have other teas, and so they have extra strong tea bags, but you're saying, no, this is the one.
This is the one. The luxury gold tea is somehow just the magical umami. But I mean, again, they're all solid teas. You know, we've all had peachy tips. We've all had English tea. It's not like English tea is a discovery. But this one really is a sleeper. This one's a sleeper.
That sounds like a good one.
I wonder if it has some pu'er in it. That's interesting. Because pu'er has a very smoky umami element. But who knows?
Yeah, that's what Carla likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, likes that taste factor. Yeah.
Yeah. It comes like in a compressed tablet.
Yes, the pu'er does. It's like a cake almost or a brick. Well, okay, so this is the wonders of the globalization in Amazon. You can get your
exactly
down in the basement of Marks and Spencer right at to your mailbox.
It's shocking. It's shocking. And even probably now that Marks and Spencer may not even exist anymore or for much longer, it feels like this will continue somehow ether to appear. Yeah.
Well, this is wonderful. So do you have a project that you're working on that you wanted to tell us about?
You know, I do. And I it's actually something Mark knows something about because he's one of our contributors. You know, during this time, last thing I did at Palabolas before I moved on was really started a new program and an initiative that was a festival, a multi-arts festival that was hosted on a farm in Northwest Connecticut. And we had artists from all over the world coming into a very intimate, informal world there, mostly out of doors. And during this period, the network of folks that I was in touch with included people in the arts and all sorts of art forms all over the world. And I found myself wanting to check in. I think we all did. There was like, wow, I haven't heard from that person. I haven't heard from that person. And together with a colleague and friend, Sherry Huss, who Mark also knows, and you also, Kevin, may know, we started coming up with this idea, about five of us, that wouldn't it be cool if we could create a kind of cartoon street block where we could move into little apartment windows all the artists we know from everywhere on earth and have each contribute a 1-minute video of their experience over the last few months. And we ended up reaching out to film folks and food folks and roboticists and writers and filmmakers, singers, poets, painters, dancers. And we now have 101-minute videos, and it's arranged in this wonderful interface that Joe Such designed. Actually, my friend Juan designed, but Joe Such built. And it's almost like a little advent calendar of 1-minute artist videos from all over the planet, in some way all reflecting some aspect of what the few months have brought to them.
Yeah, I had a friend send me that forwarded, unbidden, so you have to check this out. It's sort of like there's a, visually what you see are kind of like a row of different windows in, I guess, like a silhouette of a building, and there are things happening in each window if you...
Exactly right. And that's now something we're developing so you can have live things happen in the windows. And at the moment, this was our first iteration, was sort of an exhibit of this kind of global response to this time. But I really urge people to go check it out. It's very cool. We're calling it Decameron Row. And that's in fact where one finds it at www.decameron.com.
Where does that come from?
The Decameron was really the first piece of plague literature that was written in the 14th century by this guy called Boccaccio. And there was a pandemic going on. Of course, they had tons of pandemics at that time. For about 200 years, the bubonic plague was sort of making its way around Europe. And people didn't know what to do. There was obviously no medicine. There was no vaccines. There was nothing like that. But they did understand that separating people from each other and keeping distance seemed to be quite effective. And so the original definition of quarantine was a 40-day quarantine. You know, that four sort of word shows up there, but it was 40 days of isolation that was intended to protect you from being able to pass on or be, you know, be a victim of the pandemic. And they also had a short version, a 10-day version, that was called a Decameron. And that was sort of a 10-day social separation that was supposed to lower infectivity. And they had such a thing in Florence, and they were happening all the time. And a group of friends, 10 friends, decided instead of doing it alone, they would all show up in a big house that was empty right outside of town. And they decided that to pass the time, each of them would tell one story every day. So 10 artists, 10 stories, 10 days, and you have 100 stories. And the book, the Decameron, is really a collection of the 100 stories told during quarantine. And we thought that was a super fitting way to sort of think about this now as short stories and video, but from 100 artists during this extended period of quarantine. I wish it had only been 10 days, but it was much longer.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool. Okay. And so what's next for that? Are you going to have another 100 to replace them? Or are you going to grow to 200?
It's a great question. You know, one of the things that we've been fascinated by is the idea that it really has become kind of a virtual place. So one of the things we did is as we placed the artists in their windows and different buildings along this row, every week we sort of have a meet your neighbors Zoom call in which all of the artists that are tenants in the building virtually online from all over the world come on live and we introduce them to each other. And we've been able to have just wonderful, wonderful turnout of people from, you know, Thailand, filmmakers in Thailand talking to dancers in Tel Aviv, talking to writers in Germany. It's been super cool. And I think really the goal here was sort of, you know, to try to create a sense of company and community in this time when so many people were just off in a window, never to be really experienced in any other way. So we're working hard to really think of this as a community of artists that can sort of maintain a connection and ideally collaborate going forward. But the thing that's the coolest is that, you know, we really picked these folks in a very unofficial curatorship capacity. They're fantastically accomplished people, but we really went out to the people we knew the best and let people decide who to recommend on and developed our group that way. And it feels absolutely fitting now that as we continue to explore the experience of this time using this platform, that we would hand over the curatorship to people in different countries and different fields and invite curators to actually invite the 10 people around a theme or 100 people around a theme to make 1-minute videos and then to have exhibitions of those different areas and perhaps even build the row into a neighborhood visually that you can.
The Decameron row is a neighborhood rather than as a
exactly
row of windows. Yeah,
exactly. So Decameron it's been a
alley.
Super. Yeah, exactly. Decameron Boulevard. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff, and it's been fascinating because it's also been involving all of the networks of all of the 100 people that are participating, and that gives tremendous. Tremendous reach and a tremendous sense of possibility to let the group kind of decide what would be cool to do next with the platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So to Cameron Road. People should check it out. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so Itamar, is that the place where you would suggest people go to kind of see what you're up to, or do you have a website with your other projects, or?
Yeah, let me pull together. I think I didn't get to you guys those links, but let me get a few places to go for you. But cool. I think that's a solid one to certainly at the moment let people right. look
at. Do you
have
an Instagram account or Twitter or things like that?
Yeah, and I'll include different stuff for all of that for you.
Great.
Guys.
We'll add those to the show notes. Okay, well, cool. Itamar, this has been so great learning about your interests. And I think, you know, you and I are on the exact same wavelength with this ambient video thing, because I'm a fan of Astronaut Obscure Media and of No Comment TV, which I had all but forgotten about.
That's fantastic. And Kevin, I've been just sort of an admirer for so many years of yours, that this is a secret kind of like childhood dream come true for me to be able to be talking to you.
Well, the pleasure is mutual. As I said, I was a fan of Decameron Road without knowing that you were behind it. And I wish you continued progress in what you're doing, because it's really fantastic.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Gents, thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, it's your host, Mark, and I wanted to thank you for listening to the Cool Tools Show. And I also wanted to let you know that we've got a lot more going on at Cool Tools than just this podcast. We also have the Cool Tools website, which has a new tool review every day. And you can get there by going to cool-tools.org. We also have 4 different newsletters that you can subscribe to, and you can subscribe to those from the Cool Tools page. We have this podcast that you're listening to right now. We also have a YouTube channel where we review tools. Check that YouTube channel out by going to youtube.com/cooltools. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, if you're really enjoying everything that we are producing, go to our Patreon page and support us there. You can sign up and give us as little as $1 a month, and that would mean a lot to us. The money that we get from Patreon goes towards a lot of things. We transcribe our podcast interviews so that you can read them online. We pay for editing of our podcasts and for our videos. We pay our contributors. We have video production costs. We have equipment costs. We have hosting costs. And the money you give us through Patreon also goes to support Cool Tools Lab. Anything you give is a huge help. And one of the things that we do is, if you are a contributor to Patreon, we'll give you a shout out on air. And so I have a few people here to thank this week. Mark Lyonage, Micah Gates, Monty Zukowski, Patrick James McNally, Robert Cohen, Scott, Spence Lloyd, Steve Avery, Steve Golden, Steve Levine, Tom Hess, William Phillips, Aaron Nipper, Dharab Patel, Glenn Mercer, Jay Walker, Jeff Bonner, Ryan Jarrell, Pat Daly, Patrick Kennedy, Troy Wallett, Mike Camerate, Nicole Harkin, Tim Youssef, Scott Reed. Thanks all of you for supporting Cool Tools. And if you would like to have a shout out, go over to the Patreon page and sign up. And thanks for listening to the Cool Tools podcast. We'll see you next week.